The swelling had gone down enough in the eyes that they were open. They stared into the full light of the moon, open and undreaming, glazed from being open so long without blinking until they were like smudged fuses in a fuse box. I moved to pick up the pillow, and the eyes fastened on the movement and followed me as I stood up and crossed the few feet between the beds. The big, hard body had a tough grip on life. It fought a long time against having it taken away, flailing and thrashing around so much I finally had to lie full length on top of it and scissor the kicking legs with mine while I mashed the pillow into the face. I lay there on top of the body for what seemed days, until the thrashing stopped, until it was still a while and had shuddered once and was still again. Then I rolled off. I lifted the pillow, and in the moonlight I saw the expression hadn't changed from the blank, dead-end look the least bit, even under suffocation. I took my thumbs and pushed the lids down and held them till they stayed. Then I lay back on my bed. I lay for a while, holding the covers over my face, and thought I was being pretty quiet, but Scanlan's voice hissing from his bed let me know I wasn't. "Take it easy, Chief," he said. "Take it easy. It's okay." "Shut up," I whispered. "Go back to sleep." It was quiet a while. Then I heard him hiss again and ask, "Is it finished?" I told him, "Yeah." "Christ," he said then. "She'll know. You realize that, don't you?" "Sure, nobody will be able to prove anything. Anybody could have kicked off in post-operative like he was. Happens all the time. But her, she'll know." I didn't say anything. "Was I you, Chief, I'd breeze my tail out of here." "Yes, sir. I tell you what, you leave out of here, and I'll say I saw him up and moving around after you left and cover you that way. That's the best idea, don't you think?" "Oh, yeah, just like that. Just ask him to unlock the door and let me out." "No. He showed you how one time, if you think back. That very first week. You remember?" I didn't answer him, and he didn't say anything else, and it was quiet in the dorm again. I lay there a few minutes longer, and then got up and started putting on my clothes. When I finished dressing, I reached into McMurphy's nightstand and got his cap and tried it on. It was too small, and I was suddenly ashamed of trying to wear it. I dropped it on Scanlan's bed as I walked out of the dorm. He said, "Take it easy, buddy," as I walked out. The moon straining through the screen of the tub room windows showed the hunched, heavy shape of the control panel, glinted off the chrome fixtures and glass gauges, so cold I could almost hear the click of it striking.